Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the third NRL SC Report Teams Preview for Season 2020. So it's JT here for the third time, again with a guy we had on last time. He's welcome enough back, Semi Lakey.
Hey.
Welcome back.
We did enough last time to warrant another invite, so thank you.
Hey, apart from the 48 hours of Newcastle Knights chat that I'm sure people will skip through. And
that's it, skippers unite. Skip through to the half hour mark and still hear me talking about Homer, so go for it.
The key to these things is, like, and I do it for all podcasts, like 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
We're not talking that fast. You got a couple of draws. You got the North Queensland draw.
And half the time, you can skip through a minute while I try and figure out what I'm going to say.
It's all gold. Nonetheless, we are back once again to run through four fresh sets of teams for Supercoach 2020. So this week we're going to look at the Bulldogs, Sharks, Raiders and Broncos.
Big ones in that. Starting with the Bulldogs.
A lot of top quality in that side. So I guess without further ado, let's get cracking. So we're going to look at these teams, ins and outs for the year, possible round one cheapies, if there are any at all, and any injuries that are plaguing them in the off-season, and then the guys we consider super coach relevant, who we might be and might not be looking at. So I guess we'll start with the easy one, and I don't think this will take us as long as Newcastle, but Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs.
There's not much going on.
Oh boy, we talk trash about the Warriors, and
we did.
Their ins and outs weren't ideal, but if you look at this long list of outs, there's the one name that speaks to me, and it's typical of how the Dogs have gone, but Reece Martin, top of the list.
Gone halfway through last year, broke a lot of Supercoach hearts.
Killing it in Super League, which is good to see. So playing the game that I guess we all knew he could play, but for whatever reason, Dean paid it.
The talent's there, just, I don't know, must have been some off-field stuff. Maybe he was, you know, popping the coach's daughter or something like that.
I don't know where that came from, actually. Allegedly. And Lakey was never allowed back on the podcast. It could have been anything. Jaywalked or something.
And who knows?
Yeah, there we go. But he's headlining that list. New Brown's gone. Danny Fualalo. Francis Tuilau. Michael Lisha.
Joe Fitz is
a
boy.
He was resurrected. He got a late contract a couple of years ago, maybe last year. And so he spared himself another few years of pain for Joe at the Dogs, but he's finally out the door. Name on here that I had a bit of interest in this off-season for the Cowboys is Connolly Lamello. So fair bit of raps coming through from Dogs supporters on him. He's gone up to us. Got fair bit of chat around him as a possible cheapie during the season, but remains to be seen. But in terms of outs for the Bulldogs, it's not like they've replaced him with a hell of a lot of top line players here, so top of my list, Joe Stimson. Handy enough.
But what does that make, 15th, 16th, second rower that the Dogs have?
They'll probably play him at centre or something like that, or hooker, who knows.
Or maybe CHN will go back down to centre and he can get another jewel for next year.
Poor old CHN, another Dean Pay unfavourite. The other guy I've got down, Sione Katoa, in brackets, the Panthers one. Shout out Joe Fitz. We've given you a few the last couple of pods. Panthers, Sione Katoa, so the hooking one. So he comes to the Dogs there to clog this utility role as well. Matt Dury, Sebastian Winters-Chang, and Dean Britt from the Rabbitohs to round out the illustrious off-season signings.
A bit of forward grunt, but it's pretty slim pickings.
And it's, looking at their round one predicted team, it's not as if they've already got a side that's, chock full of, premium NRL talent.
We spoke about ins and outs just now, but, like, their biggest out is Kieran Foran because of the shoulder. And, he's the heart of the team, and he's gone indefinitely.
Yeah, I think they said mid-season floated maybe.
At best.
But how many injury comebacks has the poor bloke been on? And I mean, that leaves the likes of Jack Cogger, you know, ex-Knight, and Lachlan Lewis. So
Jack Cogger firmly on my avoid list.
Fair enough. It goes without saying, I would have thought, but stranger things. Injuries for the Dogs, we mentioned Kieran Foran and Marcelo Montoya. Mainstay of the centre wing for them last year. He's got a knee complaint, but looks like firming for the trial. So outside of Foran, they're doing okay on the injury front there. Opening draw, had, again, one word, okay.
Okay.
But I mean, it's the Dogs, so...
That's been light. I mean...
First six games in Sydney. A couple of Parramatta derbies.
Yeah, Eels, Cowboys, Tigers, Sharks, Rabbits as their first five. That's...
Up and down.
Yeah, up and down. But, I mean, the Cowboys should be improved. Should be. Let's not say anything definitive
on this
podcast.
Can't go much worse, but...
But, I said probably Tigers is the only real winnable game there. And
So it's not like they've got five games against the Titans in a row.
No.
Yeah, nothing that would scream out, we need to get
play
a sneaky dog.
Inter-squad matches every week.
Yeah, agreed. So possible round one cheapies. Sione Katoa, as we mentioned. Bench hooker at 224K. So I think he probably... did the same role at Penrith, and if he's still here at 224K, probably doesn't speak too highly.
Jeremy Marshall-King's pretty much locked into that number nine to start with, so he'll be running most of the minutes right there.
Yeah, but again, sharing with Katoa, so you're not getting an 80-minute play with JMK there. Renof Tumanga, he's named on the bench here in NRL.com's predicted side. 244K... not a jewel, he's just a second rower, but
and it's hard to see him cracking the second row as a
starter. Yeah, it's quite heavy, as we said, so he would be at best a slow burning cow there, so not a lot at this stage to get excited about for the poor Doggies. But I guess just to rush through their Supercoach relevant players, CHN, so Corey Harawira Naira as you die in the corner.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Doesn't bode well for the poor Doggies here. CHN, $558,000. Unfortunately, he doesn't retain his centre wing duel from last season. So, for mine, given all the off-field stuff into more where he was put on the field week to week and uncertainty there, as great as this guy's Supercoach game is, no go for mine.
No, I'm the same. There's guys around the same price that are much better options, I think.
Yeah, so draw a line through him. Will Hopewadi. Surprisingly decent year last season, given the Dogs' general just lack of attacking flair, especially towards the back end of the season where the Dogs had a bit of a run. He was sort of leading the charge.
Yeah, Hopper always seems to be there, just nothing fancy, nothing over the top, just solid.
Yeah, and, I mean, he's not going to crack.
And he puts in a big game.
I don't think he cracked a ton or came really close to it last season, but you're getting a guy that averages a base points per game of almost 40. He even got 56 base points last year, I think, against the Broncos. So there are some games where he just involves himself very heavily. He's in that centre spot, though. So previously at fullback...
He cracked one ton.
I stand corrected.
Against
Newcastle. Oh, so unsurprising.
I stand corrected. 2 tons.
Ooh, there you go.
So he had a 112 against Newcastle and a 118 against Parramatta, both at the back end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that surprises me a little bit just because of... you expect that more of a guy that just sort of racks up the tries every now and again, but you're combining a very solid, if not the most solid, base stat game of the centre wing, who are purely centres in NRL.
Yeah, that's it. He's one of those guys who's not really going to let you down. His lowest score was a 32 last year, so he's got a really solid floor, especially for a centre wing.
Yeah, but again, like inexperienced halves and
inexperienced
Dogs,
halves, that's it.
He's not going to get decent ball, you would imagine, enough to, you know, he's got to generate his own stats.
Yep.
Basically, so tough price, but again, if you're after reliable and you're taking risks elsewhere, maybe he's a guy that you look at to shore up your centre wing in the as you sort of get a feel
options.
for the first few rounds. Another one on the list I've got, Dallin Watene Zalesniak.
Yeah.
So mid-season signing for them last season, slotted in straight at fullback, which was a little surprising for mine, but he obviously went there for that reason, and it looks like he'll stick there again. 332k available at centre wing and fullback. I don't know if you've looked much at him, but anything you'd
like? A little bit. He's not a huge scorer. He's never been a huge scorer, but it was his first year last year scoring under 40 for the season. So there's, I mean, it's obviously the Dogs, so they're not going to be huge scorers. But
he's not, as a fullback, he's not your creative genius, so...
Something about
the Bulldogs. Just allergic. Maybe it is a sign. Maybe we're talking too much trash, and this is the
it's getting to me. Yeah,
the kind of sight. But as you said, for Mike, he's just not a spark, creative spark at the back just yet. Whether that's him settling into the side,
he's not going to. As I say, it's hard to see him getting that at the Dogs.
He seems a runner. He's a runner.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's at a very low price for a starting fullback. Available at centre wing. So you can rule him out as your fullback option. I think we've touched on too many in the last pod.
Correct.
To go there. But DWZ as a centre wing at 330k.
He's probably going to be a really high-end cheapie if they don't come in that centre wing spot. So, but that's the only reason I'd be looking at him.
Yeah, I mean, given the start of the year, I can't see him going on a tear that means we're going to miss out and it's all of a sudden going to become unreachable. But... an interesting one, but it remains to be seen. He's never really sparked as a super coach player, so he would need to be kind of turning over a new leaf in that sense. But so probably not at this stage for mine, given hopefully the cheapies we find.
Got anybody else on your...
Well, clearly I'm looking at the wrong page, because I flicked over and Ryan Pappenhausen's name was the next. Wouldn't they love that?
The Dogs could only dream of it.
I don't think we'd be talking about poor old DWZ if that was the case, but... that is basically it for me on the Dogs.
Oh, just one guy that I sort of got my eye on. It's Brendan Wakeham. I only played 3 games last year, 21, 54 and 53. So he's not basement price, but with 4 and out, he could slot into that 6 instead of Cogger.
Yeah, cool. One to watch. My third one to watch for the year so far. Wrapping them up. So enough of the Doggies. Moving on to Cronulla. The Sharkies. So they've had a bit of off-season movement and a couple of key forwards departing their side, which opened up a bit of the side from a super coach perspective for mine. So I guess to start with their outs, so Jaden Brayley, he's gone to you guys. So immediately that opens up a spot, as we all know, for Blake, his brother, to earn the starting spot, starting number 9 there. So last season was the... Brayley brothers in rotation. This year it looks like B. Brayley has got that starting hooking role, which makes him a great cheapie. Kurt Capewell, he has gone to Penrith, so reliable enough second rower. Had his day in Supercoach every now and again. Mm-hmm. He can pull out some miracle score.
Yeah, he's usually good by cover, but...
Yep. Sasaya Fecky departs, I believe, to Super League. So he was always sort of floating in that side, reliable enough again. He's now gone. Kyle Flanagan, big signing by the Roosters.
And the Roosters replacing Mr. Kronk.
Yeah, so massive raps on the kid, and he killed it when he came into the Shark side last season. So Roosters obviously saw a lot of good things in the young kid there. So could be a tough loss for the Sharks if one of Johnson or Townsend was to go down injured.
But. Yeah, and it's not like Johnson's the most...
He's not Mr. Health... personified, but and then in the forwards in terms of the outs, so Paul Gallen and Matt Pryor retiring at the end of last season, so it leaves a bit of a hole in there.
Games and minutes in that.
A lot of experience now sidelined, and Ava Siu Manafangai has departed the Sharks bench, I think, to Super League as well. I'll just assume. So I mean, in terms of the super coach relevant ones there, it's definitely Brayley, Gallen and Pryor departures, and we'll get into how that affects some of the existing players. But in terms of the ins, there's not a great deal here. Cam King, he reached out through Twitter,
I think, he was on Crusade all last year, tweeting at everybody that would listen, I think. Finally jagged a team. Good for him.
That's it, nice to see. He likely come in as a bench utility or bench hooker. Jesse Ramian, so short stay at the Knights, probably unsuccessful stay, I would say, by your face. He's now back in the Sharkies' centre wing line. Kyle Patterson, Caleb Milne and Connor Tracy from the Rabbitohs are rounding out their ins on that list there. So in terms of ins,
they've got a pretty solid 17 already, so the ins aren't going to affect them too much.
No, so getting on to their opening draw, one word, tough for mine.
Yep.
Interestingly, and for some reason I'd glossed over this, but you home stadium at Cogra, they're sharing it with the Dragons.
I haven't picked that either. There you go.
I believe that the existing stadium and precinct are getting renoed. So probably a long time coming, but they'll be playing their home games this season down at Cogra.
There you go.
I'm not sure how exactly that will play out.
24 away games for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll see. A few Dragons fans come down to heckle like we do the Broncos, but we'll see. So they're playing their home games there, and they've also got the Rabbitohs, Storm and Roosters in the first five rounds. So definite litmus test for the Sharkies, and tough stretch to start.
Yeah, and say in round six up here against Brisbane and then back down to play Manly. So real tough start for the boys.
Yeah. Injuries for them, it looks like the only one I could see, Bronson Sherry, had a bit of shoulder issue last year. Another shoulder Rico, and he's apparently resumed contact work in January and firming for round one, so
long as his legs are okay, I don't think he's
going to be doing too much grunt work in on the tackling bags, but we'll see. So interesting one there. Possible round one cheapies, I've got a couple here. I'm sure you've had this name as well, Blake Brayley.
Yeah.
Touched on him. I don't think we need too much.
We don't need to talk about it. He's got the number 9.
Yep.
He's aiming for 80 minutes too.
Yeah, that would be huge. Out of his own mouth. Just needs to make sure a guy like Cam King doesn't sneak a spot, but potential to play big minutes, which would be huge from a super coach perspective. Mm-hmm. Other name I've got here, Billy Magulias. So yeah, Gallen's replacement, as he's been touted for a couple of years now.
At first instance, like Jack Williams is going to steal that lock spot and Magulias will be off the bench.
Mm. So Magulias is 220K. So he's about 170K cheaper than Jack Williams. So.
Yeah, and I really hope it's Magulias.
Fingers crossed for trials and that sort of thing. That's where these sort of 50-50, if that's what you can say, this battle is, comes down to. So
it's not locked in by any means, but yeah, so fingers crossed.
Even failing that he gets that number 13 spot at that sort of 200K price, plenty of room to grow if he can get sort of a more than 30 minutes, but that can be tough.
We only need him for like, what, 6 or 7 rounds. Put him in the starting 13 for 6 rounds, jack his price up, and we can trade him out when he hits the bench.
That sounds good to me. Why don't NRL coaches listen to us? I don't understand it. Surely
things would be so much simpler.
Yeah, good. They're the only two I had on my list. I don't know if you had any other sneaky
one
ones.
One more, Toby Rudolph, potential benchy.
Sure.
He's coming in at 172. He's just simply going to be a benchy, but he could occupy the last spot on your second row bench.
Yeah, I mean, if he's 170K, then lock him in for whatever minutes he can conjure up. Some of the Supercoach relevant players, and there's quite a few of them this season for the Sharks. Big one for mine, big name, SJ, Sean Johnson.
Yeah, in my team at the moment.
In your team, fair. He's 586K and dual half 5'8", which sets him apart from the likes of Moses and Cam Munster, who are locked into their respective positions. So gives you a lot of room to move.
Yeah.
And he's at a reasonable price there. 580K is not...
Well, a bit under for what he can do. He's priced at... what did he average last year?
I think he was upwards of 60 by the end. He had a couple of big games.
He started the year playing 6 of the first 7 Sharks games and only averaged 48. In round 7, he scored that 5 when he got hurt.
Yep. Was he hurt or was he benched? Was
that the game he got hurt, benched? Came back and got benched early.
Yep.
Against Brisbane after 77 minutes.
he
had another shocker. But from that game, he scored 80 points per game till the end of the year.
Mm.
So really hit his straps from there. So if he can carry that across, he's locked, just about locked into my team.
Goal kicker as well.
Goal kicker.
That's worth its weight in gold sometimes in Supercoach. So definitely a reliable enough option. I mean, I can't see too much downside. He's had the combination
Health is the only downside.
Well, health, yes. I mean, he's, from all reports, had a reasonably incident-free off-season and freshened up a little bit.
Touch wood, eh? We don't
touch
want to
wood,
jinx
yeah. It's so early, but where he is now. Moylan at the back there, Townsend-Johnson combination, they've played a fair bit together, so there won't be any, you wouldn't imagine, teething problems.
No.
So for mine, he's at such a good price, and that flexibility is vital. So
and you got easy. Like, the Jerome Luaus and the George Williams, they're both duels as well on the bench, so if something does happen, you can switch them around.
And as we say, that are just Nathan Cleary's name popped in to the head. A halfback only, so you're sort of juggling him there with the Moses, but we'll see. So
yeah,
a lot of good options there, but SJ is probably, with that flexibility, got the inside running for mine. One of everyone's favourites, Andrew Fifita.
Yeah, he's had a down year. He had a really down year by his own standards. But the thing with Fifi is we've always said he's a gun when Gallant's not in the side, and now it's permanent.
Yeah, Gallant he has to. He's taking charge of this front row. And
without Gallen and without Pryor, he is head and shoulders the lead guy there.
And Arva. Arva's here, Manafonga.
True.
Opens it up. But yeah, so he's 554K, which is well under where he's been in the past. He's, I think, breached 700, someone on some of his huge tears that he goes on. It big issue with him last year was his hamstring. So
he's always strapped up.
He's
his
just
knees
always
are all
like,
strapped. And
sometimes he just doesn't seem to phase him, and he doesn't obviously take a lot of minutes to get through the work he does. And
well,
you don't need him on
the
park.
Grabs across the field and puts a a big palm into guys' chests and gets tackle breaks.
He
gets
like 15, 20 points in the one run if he slips a handy offload away. But that's what he can do. The key with him, obviously, is if he can lock in those decent chunks of minutes. And that's always just the question mark with him. So I think it's a purely injury-based one. What it sounds like, it's that hamstring niggle that he's going to carry for the rest of his career, basically.
That's
and that's the risk that you're taking. But at such a good price, and almost 200K less than a guy like Payne Haas.
Well, that's it. Everyone's locking in Payne Haas, and rightly so for what he can do. But yeah, you want to save some money for Fifita's a great option.
Mm. So he's, I wouldn't say cut price, but definitely bankable there. Talked a little bit about Bronson Cherry. He's coming into the year a little bit off his, coming off that shoulder reco. So a few question marks around him. Obviously had the massive debut year last season and killed it. I think he once he made it into the side, he just looked absolutely at home. So he's a guy that was tearing defence apart at the centre position, and it's such a tough position to play as a young guy and do that well. So yeah, always the option or possibility of a second year syndrome kind of thing, but can you see anything?
But speed doesn't go away.
No, not at his age.
And all he's got to do is catch a ball and run rings around guys. So if he can keep doing that, then he's going to be fine. But in saying that, like, I always find it hard to pick a second year guy knowing that I got him for 120K last year.
That's the thing. You look at some of these names.
It's something I've got to get over. But yeah, it's, as I say, I don't think I'll be taking a run with him this year.
No, I mean, for that price, we talked about a couple of guys last pod. So Sivo, Mamalo, even Adokar. Those sort of guys that are hovering around that price tag, but they're sort of genuine try-scoring wingers. Whereas Sherry, we know he can do it, but I guess it's less likely. You need a little bit more base to lift him up, especially at that price tag, and a few question marks about his health. So for mine, he'd be a definite pod.
He would be a
huge
wouldn't
like to be
pod.
Coming up against him in a head-to-head Sunday afternoon game or something.
Well, that's
like
right. If you're 100 points up and they've got Bronson Cherry looking at you from the other side, you're nervous.
Loved a day game, but for mine, that price tag, and it's just putting me off him, especially that tough start to the year as well. So Cherry for mine is a bit of a no at this stage. Britton Nakora, pretty much in the same boat as a rookie last year.
The positive I have on Nakora is he plays on SJ's side, and SJ just creates a lot for him, and he just loves an attacking stat too. So he'll put in the work and he'll jag a try here and there. And if SJ is playing, as we just said, if he's playing up, then Nakora's going to be playing up.
And last season, Nakora didn't get through a lot of grunt work. So he wasn't, like, there were games where he would be
sitting. He'd go missing a bit.
He'd be sat on, like, 25, if that, 30, at, like, the 65th minute mark, and then out of nowhere would get put over the line by SJ, bump his score up to 60 or 70, save owners for another week.
And the positive of last year was he was in the centre wing.
That's exactly right. This year, just second row. There's a lot of names like that. Yeah, last year was the positioning that was so crucial.
Another huge one in the next team that we talk about. Mm. But yeah.
So for mine, he's 558K. He's like a kick out in that you're relying on these attacking stats, and when they do dry up, he'll go missing.
Yeah.
He'll hit you at 30, thereabouts, despite being an 80-minute player. So again, falling back on the tough draw, that rules him out for mine.
Yeah, and I was looking around the same price range. If, you know, if Angus Crichton can jag a starting spot, he's 20, 30K cheaper.
Mm.
And you'd go with Crichton.
Yep, I think any day, especially in that Roosters side. Next one I've got on my list, we spoke about him a bit earlier, but Jack Williams. So fighting it out with Magoulias for that starting lock spot. So he's in that very awkward price range at 400K. So he actually played 22 games last year, which I was quite surprised at.
All off the bench?
23 games, 22 off the bench.
There you go.
So he definitely has been eased into first grade and looks like he's bided his time quite well. So it looks like he's got the inside running based on what we're reading now. If he does find himself there named at 13... Even at that 400K price tag, and knowing that he's going to split that time with what could be a four forward bench, doesn't tell me he's got a lot of upside.
No, not huge. But I guess it's at 400, it's not too much of a jump to go up to a guy or down to.
Yeah.
So it's round one teams are going to be the real clincher, but it's not the worst starting spot, I don't think. You might prefer Magoulias. Much prefer him. But if Williams gets the nod, then I think you can pick worse guys.
Yep. And just to... this is going to turn into a Sione Katoa scenario. I can just see it. So as we might have alluded to earlier...
same thing down here.
So I think it was just maybe today or just in the last week or so, the Sharks have signed another Jack Williams.
Yep.
So he's referred to as Jack A. Williams in the game. He's this 170K centre wing. I think purely a depth signing, so I doubt we'll see Williams.
At all.
But if you are seeing, you're doing your round one side and you see Jack Williams named at 13, he's the more expensive
pick
one.
Pick the right one.
Just pick the right one. Don't get the old Sione Katoa mixed up.
Go to the second row and pick that one.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll happen. It does.
It happens every year. Someone does it. It'll probably be me now we've spoken about.
Yeah, who knows. But yeah, and so, Jack Williams for mine, I can't see too much I like there. So fingers crossed, Magoulias gets that starting 13 spot. And then that just means one less position to think about.
Yep.
I've got a name here on my list. I'm not sure if you'll have it, but if you had anyone else outside those guys.
Ramian. We haven't spoken to Ramian.
I didn't think you'd want to.
I don't really. But 45 average last year after a 53 at the Sharks from his rookie year, and he's playing on SJ's side.
Yep.
So there's some upside there. Again, that funny price, 420.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hmm. Yeah, not a, I would say, noted try scorer.
No.
Attacking stat beast.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to start with him. There's potential there for him to gain a few dollars.
Well, but I feel like with him, you get some players that are just, they're easy on the eye in terms of an NRL perspective, and they're always going to be in the first grade side, and they're quality enough in what they do. Maybe not when they put a Knights jersey on.
No. Well, it's hard to score points when you're watching your fullback run away from you.
That's a fair call. But a guy like Jesse Ramien seems to me like one of those guys who'd be a great NRL player, a good NRL player, doesn't translate into super coach.
Yeah.
So it does a few handy things.
The Darren Lockyers of the world.
If I was in my bloody nappies when Darren Lockyer was super coach relevant, surely.
I don't remember that. Never super coach relevant, that's my point.
But yeah, so for mine, wouldn't be touching a guy like Jesse Ramien at that price.
Fair call.
A guy that I did as I was looking through the Sharks lineup, and especially with those outs that we talked about.
Yeah,
so
I think I know where you're going. Yep.
Big Aaron Woods.
Sharon.
At least got a better haircut than he started last year with, but 450K.
I'm tempted, to be honest with you.
Well, the more I look at him, the more I start to think, if anyone's to benefit, in addition to like a guy like Fifita off a pretty inexperienced forward pack now, it's Sharon.
Yeah, definitely.
Front row only, so sort of hamstrung in that regard. But last year he only averaged 45 minutes for Cronulla and was mostly off the bench.
Yep.
So he had a role there. He came on and did his job, but he had guys like Gallen, Pryor.
Does it sharing with Pryor? They pretty much split the time down the middle.
Yeah.
But he still knocked over a 1 PPM, which is pretty much what he does year after year.
Yep. And he can throw an offload, and saw at the Tigers he was probably more an attacking forward than others in his sort of class.
Looking back at his Tigers years, his lowest average from the 6 years prior to joining the Sharks was 59.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. We know where he can go. So he's currently priced at a 48 average. So 10 points from a guy that churns through the work. He's nothing flashy. Almost like an Aiden Tolman.
Yep.
So when he invariably has a bit of a lull during the year, and then they'll, out of necessity, have to play him for 80-odd minutes or thereabouts. That's when you jump on a guy like Tolman. For me, that's where Aaron Woods is at right now. So it's only upside that I can see there. Worst case scenario, though, the young guys get more of a share.
Yeah, well, let's say Sharon's not getting any younger.
No, he's not.
And let's say, so there's every likelihood that they keep playing him at 45 minutes and he keeps rocking around the same 40, 48 to 50 average. But, you know, if he ups his minutes by even 5 or so, you're going to earn some cash.
Going to make money. You can play him safely, I would say, if he's, you know, pushing out 50 plus to start.
He's kind of a good second front row. I wouldn't be, making him the mainstay of the position.
Like, you need to make those sort of buys at this stage. He's definitely not, you're not going to have an Aaron Woods in your side at round 25. But
no. Anyway.
This stage of the year, shockingly, he's one I've found that I might be going with. So we'll see where that ends. Trials again.
Trials.
Great, we always say it, trials.
If he looks great at the nines, right?
Oh, yeah, I reckon he would. He's got an offload in him. Big Shaz. Now that does me for Cronulla.
I think I'm done too there.
Canberra Raiders. That was a tough watch. Supporting the Raiders in that grand final last season.
That would have been brutal. Oh. I mean, I think everybody who wasn't going for the Roosters was going for the Raiders.
Mm.
And yeah, it was just hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, everything that went against them, and all you can do is hope that as a side, it's, you know, would gel them together more than, you know, tear them apart. Like, how close did we just get? And but checkered off season though.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Let's put it nicely.
That all starts with the ins and outs. So I know you're chairman at the bit to get onto a certain centre, but
I
let you take the reins.
I messaged JT during the week and just said I cannot wait to get into the pod and talk about Curtis Scott. What a muppet. What is he doing? I mean, we've all had big Australia days, but that was next level.
I read someone put up a thing about Australia Day just seems to be the new Mad Monday for NRL players. Yeah, had Mitchell Pearce and Benny Barber.
If it's not Bali, it's Australia Day.
Honestly, just don't go outside. Just if you're an NRL coach, you want to
drinks with mates and we won't go into exactly what he did because I think we all know that.
But one hilarious one today was that they couldn't get in touch with him. Raiders officials couldn't get in touch with him because he's hurled his phone at
passing cars.
Oh, brutal. NRL never change.
No, it's great. And we spoke a bit earlier, just you and I off air. But like, he's that kind of guy. It was only last year, the year before, he, you know, put his fist through Dylan Walker's face.
Yep.
And so he's out for a while with that one. So it's just, you can't say you're really surprised. But,
no. But the thing
the Raiders
is,
are probably the only surprise.
Oh, he came out and said, I want to get away from the, you know, fishbowl, whatever it is, of Sydney and the, you know, bright lights there. And that's why I'm going to Canberra. I've got my head screwed on. Couldn't even make it through to the first trial.
Mate, if he wanted to stay out of the lights, he should have stayed in Melbourne. I mean, if he doesn't play AFL, no one knew his name.
No, you might as well be any bloke down there. But he was a big signing for them, particularly the outs that they've got.
Yeah, and he may be an out himself. The other outs, huge ones, Leipana, both of them gone. One's over in Japanese rugby, and the other one's at the Tigers now, joined his baby bro. Caesars overseas, didn't get re-signed. Ata Hingano.
He's up to, I think he's either the Blackhawks or the Pride, one of the Cowboys for the team.
There you go. I got Mekhi Cutters here.
Oh, there you go. One of the three.
He's playing somewhere. Brad Abbey, Royce Hunt, and Reuben Porter all remain unsigned.
Just had a bit of some live text from one of our loyal listeners here. Huge Bill, Darren Shockier.
Oh, here we go.
One of our good mates. Question from the floor to round out the show. Who is the shortest odds to be the next to get in trouble in the off season, and why is it BJ Leilua? So, thought on the topic of BJ and Curtis Scott. So, interesting question, and that's the beauty of the NRL off season.
Well, it's been relatively scandal free to this point, so we're all just waiting for the penny to drop and something.
And it's never far away.
It isn't. It's not.
Unfortunately, as much as we'd like, just all the focus to be on the footy. Sometimes you need this sort of stuff to get through the days of the long off season.
And let's say it was only, was it last year, there was all the WhatsApp messages and the Benny Barbers and...
Oh, was it the Dylan Napa
big puppy? So, yeah, it's coming. Let's say it's been quiet and it is coming. So
hopefully all it is some breakout stars in the nines and the all-stars coming up. But
write in questions for the listeners.
Who's the next?
Put your coins.
It's Joseph Leilua. Fingers crossed, touch wood. All good there. So we talked about Curtis Scott. He's in the in column. Could be in the out column.
So, well,
seems very unlikely he'll.
Yeah, that's it. The other big in is Georgie Williams, Wigan Warriors. He's, you know, rated one of the best halfbacks of that competition, and doesn't mean he's going to succeed here, as we know how Poms are a hit and miss. But you know, he's
outside the forwards, Sam Tompkins, and all that.
Yeah,
all the ilk. But out goes Caesar, in goes Georgie Williams.
Yeah, good replacement, I think. Tom Starling is in, and Harley Smith Shields, who I've got to talk about a bit later, was upgraded from a development contract. So yeah,
opening draw. Good, I've got down.
Good, very good. Yep.
Three out of the four games at Canberra. First three against bottom eight from last year.
Titans, at Warriors, and versus Dragons. That's the first three. They could get off to a flyer.
Yeah, just keep their heads on and focus on the footy. And that, if you look, you know, 1 to 17, that's a side that should be in the finals.
Oh, they'll make the finals. They've got to. It'll be very, very unlucky not to. But... no. You know, if can they go as deep as they did last year? Who knows?
Well, they've definitely got motivation now.
Yep.
Injuries for them, as we said, Curtis Scott's not an injury, but more just a brain fade, I would imagine.
Yeah, he might have a brain injury.
Speaking of brain fades, Hudson Young, the old
suspension.
Yeah, he's out until round six.
The gouger.
Yeah. Repeat offender. So. Not a great start to his young career, but he'll be back round six. Round one cheapies. So you did touch on a guy,
Georgie Williams.
Georgie Williams. I didn't have him as a cheapie. But...
well, I mean, in that halves area, he's 333K. So it's probably, and he's basically locked in to a spot. So it's cheapie-esque.
It's not like he's in unfamiliar territory. I think half this side is basically the English 1 to 17. So he's definitely got some familiar faces.
Canberra in the winter, it's like living at home.
It's an absolute avalanche of them at the moment. But the thing with George Williams is, and just mentioned before, it's such a step up coming from Super League to the NRL.
And I think I saw one of the a tweet during the week that if you convert his stats in the Super League to Super Coach, he was averaging like 75 a game. Not going to do that here.
So he's basically playing the Titans every week.
Cameron Munster playing the Titans every week. But one thing you won't have going for him here is the goal kicking. Croker's got that down pat, but you know he'll be second choice as Caesar was.
Interesting to guy I've got down on the relevance to talk through a little bit later, but Jack Whiten obviously came into his own at the back end of last season. All of a sudden, he's taken the reins of this side and everything's sort of going through him. So interesting to see how they balance that combination out.
Well, he's the more that erratic runner. Game breaker.
So if you have... But the thing is, they had that combination, him and Caesar. Yeah. And Caesar was as irrelevant as they come super coach-wise. Yep. Did his job. That's the worry for mine with George Williams, is that he falls into that trap. He puts the kicks in. He shovels the ball on as needed.
Absolutely, it could happen.
And for $330K, I mean, there's not that many cut prices.
We're not going to get the basement rookies in that spot. And so if you got to fill it out somehow.
I'd almost rather lock in the likes of Cleary, Moses, just absolutely stack just go full that. Gun. Stack that half spot, leave nothing to chance, because you know those guys are going to deliver more often than not, and let other people worry about whether George Williams is going to churn out 75-point games here. But for all, like, I got John Bateman wrong last season. Same sort of story.
Sorry, you didn't start with Bateman? You start with Luke Bateman. Is that
close enough. I missed the train initially with Bateman. Had to jump on at a slightly or more than slightly increased price. He was similar. I think he was 400K on the dot. Mm-hmm. So and yet, the fact that he still managed to start like a house on fire. I don't know that we'll ever see something like that in the near future based on what we're seeing Supercoach
teams. We can't expect Williams to follow that. It's completely different.
No, position.
Position and game style. So, but if he can earn 50K or so.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, especially if he's playmaking half, as you say, he's got the potential to put out a few 60-plus point games.
Yeah, rack up needs a couple early on.
Price. Exactly right. In terms of a possible replacement for Curtis Scott, pending any follow-up to his Australia Day shenanigans, so the likeliest of them all looks to be Michael Oldfield slotting in at the wing and pushing Nick Kotrick to centre, where he played a bit last season. A couple, though, that are on the radar, and speaking of our friend, as we mentioned before, Darren Shockier, huge bill. He has some inside mail at the Raiders. We won't name names, but a couple of big raps on a guy you mentioned, Harley Smith-Shields, and also Semi Valamai. It's a Fijian flyer that the Storm are looking to tie down for a while. Both bottom dollar, $172,000 cheapies.
I hadn't heard about the Semi, but should have, namesake and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be great. One of those guys can jag the spot. That'd be just a gift from the Supercoach gods.
Mm. So, I mean, it's a safe play for a guy like Oldfield, reliable as they come.
Yep.
Slot him in there, but it'd be absolute gold if we could get...
What do you got to lose?
Although, now that I'm thinking about it, that's got Simonson vibes written all over it.
Even Simonson earned some money, though.
Eventually. Post round one when I'd binned him, and he came back in, post-buy and killed it, but...
So, on your Simonson Stars scale.
Yeah, well, we're replacing that. We've got to replace that.
Yeah, go on.
I was trying to think who... I did have an idea for it last season. It's escaped me now, but obviously can't keep with the Simonson Stars. Yeah. So
we'll brainstorm.
Yeah, there was someone threw out a good one last season. I'll have to think about it on the next pod, but...
Any suggestions? Put in the comments. Let us know.
That's referring to my Monday round wrap star scale system, so just the cheapies of the round and how they fared. So last season, given when Joe Fitz used to do it, who was his? He had
the young Warriors bloke.
John Pahlavi. The Pahlavi scale. So second row, cheapie, played one game for the Warriors, in and out.
Yep.
And ever since then, Bailey Simonson emulated that to some extent last season. One game and out. So see who that is going to be this year.
I look forward to it. Whoever it's going to be, he'll be in my team.
Oh, I was going to say, without a doubt.
Yep.
That's why we love him. So that's probably it in terms of cheapies. As we look through the rest of their side, it's pretty much what they had last season. bit of shake up in that centre spot, but the forward pack looks settled. Papali, Bateman, Whitehead, Tarpane, Wenon's boy.
He'll probably get sucked in at some stage.
The maniac ranger on the bench, Corey Horsbaugh. NRL.com's got Sam Williams in there as a bit of a utility. I'd love to know from Raiders fans, given Josh Hodgson can easily push out 80 minutes, whether that's a genuine thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd have put Havili in.
Yep.
As more can traditional.
Slot in at second row, which he did with Tarpane last season.
But who knows?
Yeah, interesting times there. Trials again. So Supercoach relevant players. Few of them here, nothing like crazy, like say the Sharks or Eels. John Bateman, I guess he's a familiar face. Second row only this year.
Yeah.
And at 668K, what's your read?
Expensive. I mean, as you just said, he's, 270K more than he was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you look at his... he scored 1440 total points last year and went under 50 once, which was a 49 in games that he didn't get hurt. And he only had 4 tries and 4 try assists all year.
Yeah.
So he was just churning out stats for fun.
Offloads.
Line breaks, line assists. He was just putting...
So almost Mr. Supercoach.
Yeah.
If you were to put perfect. That tag on anyone, that's a guy, 80-minute game, just loves getting his hand on the footy and getting that side around the park. So
for me, we spoke about it on the last pod about Ryan Madison, and I said he was almost a lock in my team. Yeah. Bateman is the man that's competing with him.
Oh, see, Bateman wins it out there for me just on guaranteed minutes.
Okay.
So I think... I can't see Bateman regressing to a bench player. Imagine trying to take him off. He wouldn't cop it. He'd just ignore him. That's exactly right. So he's almost locked into that 80-minute side. He's been in the Raiders side for a year now. Matto's coming to a new one.
Yep.
So in terms of the pros list, Bateguns got it for me.
Bateguns. And he's gaining extra points with his Twitter work. He's responded to Tommy Sangster on Twitter for his avoid and giving him a serve. Love it.
In his English accent.
In his English. No one can quite understand it, but it's appreciated and it's hilarious.
You love it. Have at him. It's almost like it's a current NRL player champing. Yeah. Poor Tommy.
Got him.
Oh, you know you've made it then, at least. For mine, Bateman's as safe as they come. Second row, the only thing is that price tag.
It is big. But as
it's almost like you build a team around him. Yeah. Although... I'm looking at a guy like Jason Taumalolo.
You're obviously looking at
Taumalolo. Obviously. And that's already 700K chewed up in your second row.
So, yeah, you're saving money by going to Bateman.
Yeah, well, that's it. And, yeah, I mean, for the sake of an extra 60K and guaranteed 80 minutes, maybe that'll sway some over Lolo. But I've obviously got the blue and grey glasses on, so Lolo's in my side. But
yeah, Bateman is number two. Number two as far as cost goes in the second row. So he's right up there.
There you go. Just going to read a name out. Probably won't. He's been a stalwart of Supercoach for quite a while now. Had a decent enough year last season. Goal kicking centre wing Jared Croker, 495K.
He's just consistent. Yeah. He's always around there. And the thing that's been hurting him lately is the brilliance of Leipana on the other side of the field. The Raiders
tend... don't want to go down his edge.
Hey? No, they've always been going to the right. It doesn't hurt that Rapana came in field so much and took a lot of the dummy half runs, but that's not there this year, so they might look to go back out to old Captain Reliable.
Mm. So, I mean, 495K, we talked about a few other guys like Mamalo and Adokar, Sivo. He's... at par with Adokar, but you know, 60K cheaper than
those guys. Say I'd probably go with the savings. You just know what you're going to get from Croker.
Goal kicking as well.
Goal kicking.
I mean, for mine, he's going to hover around. He can go up to 600K. He can go down to 400, depending on how he goes. But you know, he's always just going to end up
that way. He'll end up back at 500.
I mean, settling's such a lottery sometimes. So whether you go with, say, mix him in with a guy. Like, you know, Mamalo, Sivo, try-scoring gun, and Jared Croker is your reliable enough goal.
If you're going to start the year with your four or five or six cheapies, and you're going to have to play one or two of them and take the gamble.
Mm.
Having a Croker there who's just a reliable 50 points, you know, it's a way to keep your score ticking over while the cheapies will go, you know, for donuts.
Yeah, you just got to ride out the occasional low score, but it's centre wing. Sometimes you just got
to
bite that bullet. An interesting one I had on my list, Bailey Simonson. So we talked about him as last year's cheapie that never quite was, but eventually was. 357K, centre wing fullback dual. Looks like he's now, especially with this whole saga with Paul Curtis Scott, he's got the...
pretty much locked into starting, the left wing.
Starting wing spot.
Outside of Croker, so...
Can play at centre as well if they maybe decide to shuffle it around that way, but we just talked about price savings, but you're getting 140K on Jared Croker there.
Yeah, true.
Guy that's playing in a very similar sort of role without the goal kicking. But any love for Simo there? An inflated price tag?
Inflated price. I don't know. He's just still raw for mine. And your rating scale's named after him for a reason. So.
Not for long.
Not
for Someone long. Will come around.
But at the same price, I'd be looking at Kotrick on the other side of the field. 364. Yeah.
I didn't even have that name down. Like, he was definitely one. When he moved to centre, especially middle of last season, we all thought all of a sudden
Basil. Everyone was drooling over him.
Never quite kicked off.
Didn't. But he might be back there. 39 after averaging 49 from the 24 games of 2017-2018. So he's down 10 points on what he usually does, which is like 80K, 100K?
Yeah, and it has a great Supercoach game when he's running the ball as well. And now that Rapana's gone, they need that guy making the big meters out of.
And I've got down here, he'll be playing outside of Scott, or will he? He's going to be the focal point on that right hand side of the field now, I think, and he'll at least bump price at least.
Hard not to see. The only issue with him there as well as he's now the incumbent for the Blues origin side. So looking like he'll miss those all important bye rounds if he holds that spot.
Well, he's already got the round 12 bye, so you won't be missing there. Then you can, if he's earned money leading up to that, you can replace him with someone who will be playing.
Great name. So yeah, again, he's cut price. I'm surprised at that actually. So Kotrick definitely one I'm adding onto my penciled list here.
You want the pen?
I do not want the pen just yet. Get the red ink out after round one. Right, we'll see. I think we did mention Jack Whiten briefly. 497K, 5/8 only. 40% of his games over the last two seasons have been 60 points plus, and 46% in 2018. He's not quite rocks and diamonds, but definitely becoming more relevant as a Supercoach player.
It was another guy, we spoke about it last pod, another guy with a career year.
Again, we're talking about all these guys on the up.
Well, that's it, with potentials. And so he did have a big year, but just looking into it, he only averaged 53 for the year. Had quite a few games at, 40s or under. So, yeah, there's potential there for him to really take this team by the horns and run it back into the finals. So if he can keep that, because he killed that grand final, he had a great game, and leading up to it he was big in the finals for the Raiders. So he keeps that form up, there's definitely some upside in him.
Tricky price, especially we're doing it all on what could be in new halves combination,
and as you said, 5/8 only, so that hurts a bit,
and especially some of the logjam we've talked about in there. So he's absolute ultra pod territory, but I'm sure he will have he'll definitely have his owners after the way he finished last season. So
yeah,
we'll see how he fares. Does me for the Raiders.
Josh Papali for mine.
Oh yeah,
606K, average 65, which is right around what he sort of averages. He's been on at least 56 since 2002 and at least 63 since 2016. But he finished last year on a 10-game tear of 76.
I reckon he would have scored a try every game.
He was dominant. It was ridiculous.
To me, you've still got to look at that and you've got to factor that in.
Yeah.
It's always...
But then people and we'll talk about this again in a minute, but people are locking in Payne Haas. He pretty much did the same thing.
So I wouldn't say to the same extent in terms of try scoring, but definitely the inflated attacking stats.
Attacking stats, yeah.
And yeah, he's, what, first or second year into it last season, whereas Papali's been around the traps.
Definitely upped his top price for this guy. So there's not much upside there, but I don't think he's going to let you down too much either.
No, I mean, it's a clogged forward pack as well.
If you want to save yourself 100-something K from a Payne Haas, he's probably one of the names I'd be looking at.
Yep, good super coach game. Interested to see again if this Sam Williams thing is a go, or whether Hodgson might be rested at some point during the game.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. Papali is traditionally a second rower or a lock, so he's got big minutes in him.
Mm. So, interested to see what the makeup of the side is there for Papali's sake, but that price.
Big price.
Anything else?
Nah, that's good.
So, our favourites. Yeah, everyone's favourites.
Everyone's favourites.
The mighty Brisbane Broncos. Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, you want to skip this one?
We were saying, like, off air that it's actually a tough time when you're going through and seeing, oh, they've actually got...
They've got super coach.
They've got a few handy players. Yeah. We'll have to talk about them.
Well, but I'm gonna say, as much as we love to hang all sorts of crap on them, I put my initial draft team together and I think I had four Broncos in it, and I was disgusted. I deleted team and started again.
I mean, there's some good young players in there. You can't, I guess, deprive them of that compliment, but on their ins and outs for this season, I guess a hell of a lot has changed for them in terms of those that have come in and those that have gone out. So if you look at the out column here, Sean Fenson and Matt Gillett retiring for them.
That's a big one with Gillett. He's sort of always billed as the next captain of the club.
Yeah.
And say injuries have derailed his career, unfortunately.
Yeah, horrible neck injury that it was, and he never truly recovered from it. So all the best in his retirement.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kihamat Shibasaki has gone to the Knights.
Yeah, we'll just leave that. Better left unsaid.
He had a bit of a first grade experience last season. Interested to see if he kicks on. Jaden Sua off to join Uncle Wayne at the Rabbitohs. Sam Tangatizi didn't factor too much over his couple of seasons there.
He's mostly gone. A bench guy.
Troy Dargan and Tana Boyd, a couple of rookies for the Bronx, are gone. In terms of the ins, a big one for them from the Storm, Brody Croft.
Yeah.
So that's obviously been a sticking point for them for a while, is getting their halves right.
Well, they've always needed that controlling half, and hopefully Croft can be that for them.
Mm. So he comes with obviously big raps, come through that Storm system, and yeah, he's got a fair bit to kick on with. Jesse Arthurs, interesting one from the Titans there. He was a gun up-and-comer there, got a bit of a taste of first grade last year, played all right. Rumblings about that he's training quite well, and he's definitely competing for that fullback in wing spot.
There's rumours about that he was brought in to play fullback, and at 316, 317K, whatever it is, if he gets picked as a starting fullback, he's a cheapie for you.
Another one that got ruined by some back end games. Yep. Just could have kept him out a little longer, but
again, coaches need to listen. They're just ruining this game.
That's what trials are for. So Arthur's cracked side. Big one here. Surely Wilf would have started on this on its champs pod. Jordan Kahu. Prodigal son returns after a season.
He is stoked. I know from personal chats with Wilfred, he is absolutely stoked that Kahu is back in the
team. I think all Broncos
team. Yeah, absolutely laughing. I think his exact words were, go back to Townsville.
oh, boy.
Yeah, huge.
That did not last long. I guess he was our Ben Barber emergency pickup. And
guys just panicked.
He was fine. Like, he didn't do the worst job, and you can't hang too much shit on him, but back at the Broncos, but pretty stacked centre wing.
Yeah,
having a look down.
I'd be surprised to see him playing.
Yeah, so definitely looks like a bit of a depth option for them there. Outside of that, a couple of upgrades and some rookie signings, Reece Kennedy, Jordan Lee, Pride Patterson, some banging names going around the NRL these days. Kobe Hetherington, another one to round out the Broncos there. Anything else you had on your list? So yeah, really the big one there.
Xavier Coates was upgraded from development contract, so he can play from round one, but the only way that's happening is if his namesake, did I say Oates or Coates?
You said Coates.
Okay, cool. So other Oates, yeah. C. Oates, has a leg infection at the moment, and there's a possibility it drags on through the early rounds. So might be a bit of a play for Coates there.
Mm. What price was he?
Something.
I mean, I think I've got him here. 201K. So that's actually not that bad.
Yep.
So I was thinking more, he played a couple of games last season, might have bumped his price up, but apparently not. So it could be, though, the Bailey Simonson of this year.
Well, he could if Oates is just sort of... If Oates just needs a 1 week to recover, then...
Definite trap material there, if that's the case. I was going to say possible cheapie for round one here. There, up-and-coming possible number five here per NRL.com. Darius Boyd. Boyd, he's got the weight of captaincy off his shoulders now. So
is he basement price now?
I think he's still around 300k mark. I don't know how. Surely he didn't actually touch any fullback or whoever running through the line.
You don't get a missed tackle for just falling over.
He was thinking of his Supercoach owners. Say what you will about Darms. He spared them the lost points there, but he looks like he's shifted from fullback to the wing, and Jermaine Asako looks like slotting in there.
Only issue for me
with Darbs.
With Darbs is fullback 5/8 eligibility. So,
oh geez, Teddy Turbo Ponga Pappenhausen Darbs.
Darbs, yeah.
Fullback is a nightmare this season.
You're struggling, and say if he's going to be really fighting for a spot on your 5/8 bench too, with like say same price as Georgie Williams at Canberra. So.
SJ. Tough.
Very tough.
Cam Munster. But you never know. Could stand out on the wing and put the ball down, you know, two or three times.
Well, I mean, absolutely made his name on the wing in Origin.
I mean, Anthony Milford and...
Inglis is not going to be playing in the number three for the Broncos.
Milford and Croft are basically Cronk and Thurston giving him the ball. So second could coming. Be the, exactly. Big year for Darts, so keep your eye on this one. Round one, other round one sheepies, Corey Pye. Pice, P-A-I-X, Pace, maybe. Halfback only, 171K. Bit of talk around him as a possible interchange utility. Obviously, well,
especially now with Joe O.
Yeah, Joe O. It's fallen asleep in his car or something. In terms of off-field NRL scandals, one of the lower...
One of the tamer ones, but third strike for Joe O. So he might be in a bit of strife.
Or slap on the wrist or something, the usual donkey treatment, but... Couldn't sweep that one under the rug.
NRL takes sanctions against the police for charging
a Bronco. Do they not know who he is? So Corey is fighting it out with Jake Turpin and Andrew McCullough at this stage for the hooking and bench utility role. So a lot of Broncos fans gone completely off Macca for
Macca. There was even talks that they were shipping him out at some stage or looking to.
So between him and Darius, they could have a lot of experience running around for Redcliffe or whoever it is their feeder sides are this season. But a potential, if that's the case, 171K, any sort of minutes from that sort of position, gold. So
yeah,
if he, hopefully. The interesting one is the halfback. It's a bit of a shame. Halfback. Yeah, unfortunately halfback only.
Oh, there you go.
So don't even have normally the 5/8 or... centre wing flexibility with him, so yeah, I mean, that's where you're juggling a gun cheapy strategy there. That's so
it. If you need the extra dollars, it's probably not the worst strategy.
Any Broncos have a couple of injury concerns. As you mentioned, Corey Oates, the leg infection going a little slowly, so possible doubt for round one. Katoni Staggs is coming back from a foot injury, so he's likely to miss some of the trials. The guy who talked about the gun, Jordan Kahu, is coming back from a shoulder reco.
Hopefully another he's one. Back in time.
Hopefully. Wilf will be dying to see that. Jack Bird returns from his ACL injury. So it looks like he's right for the trial. So he's a very, very long layoff, finally getting back on the park. I guess starting on Supercoach relevant players, we'll start with him.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a long one, but he's 500,000 and he's only available at the centre wing.
It's tough to get him because he's traditionally a 50 average player, which is right around where he's priced at, and he's coming back from an ACL injury.
Yeah.
I mean, his game is all power, so it's all straight up and down on the
gut
line.
Power?
Yeah, basically.
I think he was loading up. He was definitely bulking in that particular region last season. I don't know whether that's the case in 2020.
Well, if they haven't sponsored the Broncos this year, they have sponsored Supercoach, and that's KFC.
Can't get away from it.
Birdie, there's your meal
there you
ticket,
go.
Mate.
Right for it. For mine, 500k, going back from his ACL, centre wing only, he's a no.
Yep,
can't see any reason to go. And he's inflated on last year. Started last year at 320, ended up at 440.
Well, that's because he had an injured 2018 as well, with a foot or something like that, and then only averaged in the 40s or something.
Yep.
Came back, played about 9 games last year, did his ACL. So had a bad run with injuries, but hopefully he can get going because he is a good player when on his day.
In his time last year, dropped the ball over the... I remember he had some absolute clangers.
Did
he? So a few people started the year with him, hilarious. And I think it was against the Roosters or Dogs, he spilled an absolute sitter across the line. So if he can...
Saving money for you guys this year, perfect.
Kind of like a Lockie Fitz, if he can actually catch those balls this season, then yeah, maybe he... firms back into that super coach option he once was, but for mine, starting round one, definitely not.
No.
One to watch, potentially. Payne Haas.
He's so expensive.
Yeah, but he's 80-minute front rower with that game.
Mm.
I almost just have to lock him in.
There you go. 730K.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk of your salary cap straight away. Only... outpriced by Teddy. There's no denying what he did last year was insane.
As a rookie,
he was
too.
A rookie, yeah.
All the off-season
and
stuff.
And he only scored under 60 twice from his 20 games.
And the thing with him is he was almost just lock-in captain option
each
week. And that's a strategy some people say they're going to go with.
We haven't really had that since the Corey Parker days.
No.
So, yeah, he's another Bronco.
Again, someone you're getting on the peak. So where does he go after the year that he had last season and the price he's at?
It's hard to imagine he goes up from there. So you might be able to get him at a discount, but how much of a discount, it's hard to say.
Yeah, for me, it's more, in that case, early season points.
Yep.
There's a few question marks around some other blokes in that front row spot. So for mine, Payne Haas is almost close to a lock.
Well, if you can save the money elsewhere, if the cheapies come through, then yeah, I agree. I'll probably lock him in too. But if I have to go a few more expensive options,
yeah, well, that's it. You sort of
you got to. I think I'll have to sacrifice him.
Second row partner, I guess you'd call him, David Fifita.
I reckon he's just about a lock.
Yeah. So looking at some of his stats this year, he finished last year with 80 straight 80-minute games and averaged 68, including 2 tons across that period. So he scored some barnstorming tries. He's got the game to do that. He's 160K discount on where he was priced at last season. So you saw what that little late run did for him in terms of his super coach output and price, so you're getting him at that discount, and I'm assuming he's going to play 80 minutes again,
yeah,
so he's going to hold that role
you'd
down.
Hope so.
Now
he
that
Gillett's gone. That 80 minutes at the end of last year. I mean, he started the year averaging, 39?
He was slow.
Kicked off, so it's kept his price down. But if you look at the games where he averaged 80 minutes and he scored 70 points a game, which is good for, if you're looking at the... overall averages, it's 9th best for the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Like,
there's only way it's up, really.
Mm. Again, it's going to hurt as an anti-Broncos man putting him in, but
and,
sometimes you just got to bite the bullet.
A Fifita, so it's... But yeah,
it's the name.
We've got to go there.
So yeah, for mine, he's bad luck. Jermaine Asako.
He's tempting. He's 420K. Shout out to the 420ers. He should be running at
someone say KFC. Fullback, centre wing, fullback spot. Sorry,
Yeah, right, man. That's good. That's good. I'll probably be grabbing some on the way home. Yeah, he'll be the fullback at the Broncos unless those Jesse Arthur's rumours are true. So, again, he's another one who should only go up. He averaged 11 points less than he did in 2018. And he just had a shocker year.
Yeah, he wasn't getting a lot of love out there on the edge.
Well, he had 80-minute games where he scored 10 points and 12 points. Yep. And he had a 90-minute game where he scored 19 points.
Yeah.
That's just... I could do that.
Yeah, but if you, we see him, like he went to fullback in some games last year. We saw him at fullback, I think, in 2018, and he was killing it from there.
Because
he
just everyone loves running hanging out for him to be a fullback. And
the goal kicking, goal kicking's a big one as well. I'd suspect, looking at that side, he's got that pretty much down pat. Assuming Anthony Milford's not drilling him at training. I'm sure Wilf's got his eye out for him, so let us know, Wilf.
I know Wilf is all over Milford this year.
I haven't put him on my list. I can't do it. Launch into a rant. But for mine, Asako, fullback, centre wing, dual. It's more the centre wing that you're looking at there. If he's at fullback, yeah, great price. Only weighs up. Anything else on him?
No. Bloody Bronco, though. I agree with everything I said. Yeah, Bronco. I will talk about Milford for just a second.
Sure.
It's that Brody Croft factor. Last time he played with an organising half in Ben Hunt, and we know how good Ben Hunt is.
Favourite ever Bronco, next to Darius.
Well, he would be in yours. He was, if it wasn't Thurston winning the Clyde Churchill, it was...
If there is not a bronze statue of Ben Hunt outside the front of our new stadium in Townsville by the end of the year, then riots in the streets. Just as much a helping hand in that premiership as JT. I digress, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
2015.
Oh, so good days. Hang on to it, mate. As a Knights fan who hasn't won since 2001.
At least you had two.
Yeah.
You're due.
Well, he's definitely due. We've had more spoons in the last 5 years than we have in the premierships. Anyway, Milford's only at 51 average, and he had 55. But before that, he averaged 70, 67, 67, 65, 65. And that was playing with the dominant half, letting him run around. So if he can get back to that, he's going up.
Yeah, fair enough.
Theory, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he shuffled around between fullback and 5/8. He didn't quite kick on at fullback. He was definitely not a running game, is not his strength anymore, given the weight he's put on and the way he's played at 5/8 for so many years now. But I guess if he's got a spot locked down there and he can form a combination.
I just think he's going to score more than 51 a game.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few like miracle darts in the last minute and dive over. That absolutely kills me as a non-owner, but last year was a little easier to swallow. Anyone else from Broncos for you?
Not of an interest, really. I mean, there's TP... Is it J? Anyone? TPJ. Or just TP? TP13.
Vitapangai.
He's a... absolute gun, but the hammies and suspensions are too much for classic. Like I've got him in draft and he kills it, but
541k, dual flexibility, which is handy. But lost, I was looking at his stats and I owned him over this period. Last three games in the season, he lost 28 points for either sin bins, penalties, missed tackles.
Yep,
28 points in three games is pretty huge, and that's pushed him back down a little bit in terms of price. Yep. But he's definite hothead, and you just don't know what you're going to get from him. Yeah,
exactly right.
So, he's a wait and see what kind of TPJ you get on the field. But definitely got a good super coach game, but looking elsewhere there.
And the only other one was Pat Carrigan. There was some talk that he might get the starting 13, but...
ahead of TPJ.
I think the idea was TPJ would be playing on the edge and then Carrigan. But Alex Glenn just got named captain, so that surely shuts that down.
Yeah, that's right. So I'd imagine Glenn in his twilight years will see out his spot there. I don't have anything on him, but Matt Lodge. He sort of overshot expectations last season. One of those kind of like
punching above his weight, pardon the pun.
Yeah, one of those. Which one? Definitely one of those ones. He probably exceeded expectations last year. Talk of him being a captain, so he's definitely taking on a more leadership role in this side. But yeah, we'll see if he can break down the door of becoming a Supercoach premium front row option, but for now, he's a no.
Definitely had the game last year, but yeah, so I can't go there.
Hmm. All good. Well, that's enough Broncos chat for 1 week.
That's enough to last me this season.
We said we would go through this one in an absolute breeze, and we did warn you at the start of the pod to fast forward us onto 1.5. Or even actually slow us down to 0.5 and listen to how drunk we sound. It's always a good value.
Put us on 0.5 and listen to us going to sleep. We'll put you out before 10 minute mark.
Oh, I reckon I might. If I couldn't stand the sound of my own voice, I'd use this bad boy. But anyway, so we're almost there in terms of team. So still got, I believe, one more to go. And I think I'm catching back up with Benny G next week. So he had his debut. He'll get him back to round out.
Did you kill it?
Yeah, you did all right. Yeah. Cracked a few funnies and, yeah, he was always a bit nervous. But
first one's always tough.
Yeah, but he's coming in off a ranking of like 200 last year.
Yeah, he dominated.
So he's coming in with
So I've got no right to talk down to him.
No, well, that's it. We talk about second year syndrome, and this podcast is also poison chalice for those coming in after a big year.
Didn't you started on last season?
Came in.
Well, you started well last year.
This guy could actually he could actually win, take this thing out. He knows his league.
You certainly proved him
wrong. Bloody, if we're going to blame anyone, it's Wenin. Anyway, thank you again, mate. Kept you here more than long enough.
Anytime.
Big family man, too. See, I can juggle this Supercoach caper stuff. You guys are all getting married, got kids.
It's going to happen to you, too. Right? It's only a matter of time.
Oh, get 12,
but
15
speaking
years.
As a dad and all the dads out there will back me up. This is just a fantastic escape from the everyday fun of children under five.
Everyday fun of a Supercoach roller coaster.
Yep.
If you're not disappointed in your own side, it's your Supercoach side.
Yep.
But, oh well, it's all a game.
And it's a lovely change for me yelling at the Supercoach scores than the family.
Delightful, mate. Well, good to have you here, Lakey. We'll see a bit more of Semi on the site as we start to drop a bit more content up there. You've taken the lead, dropping some pre-season movement analysis on there. Mm-hmm. So good to see. You're encouraging the rest of us to get our game in order. So be hearing and seeing a lot more of Lakey in the future. So thanks again, mate.
No problem.
We'll chat to you later on.
Sounds good.